exhale, exhale, breathe for back, for back, because we in Emberland. How we doing, y'all? We back, like always. Guess who's be back? So yeah, I'm Amber, and I haven't recorded in about a couple of weeks almost, and a bitch been busy. It's been weird, too. I'm like, I ain't got no job, man. But still, I do, in a way, because I've been surfacing these jokes. So that's been really cool. And yeah, it's been really good, man. Like, been hitting up mics, like open mics. And I'll talk about that more later, of course, because I'm just getting started. You know, I try to like to just, you know, start you off light, you know, like a little amuse-bouche, and then a little appetizer, you know what I'm saying? So, I like to, like, give you bit by bit. So, before I dive into it, yeah, I have been doing some mics, and then, but mainly been doing paid shows, so that's been awesome. I've been happy with that. But, yeah, a lot has happened in the past couple of weeks, though, aside from my own personal grind. The Kentucky Derby just happened this past weekend, and I just always feel compelled and slightly obligated to mention it every year just because of the Kentucky ties that I have, because I have a lot of friends who give a shit about Kentucky Derby. I don't care. I never did. I just don't. I don't really like horse racing. There's so many reasons why. I'm not even going to get into it because I'm not trying to make this a big-ass soapbox, you feel me? And, of course, if you can hear it in my voice, I am recovering from allergies and sinus infection. That's been fun. But luckily, it was only like a couple of days. It didn't last like a week like some do. That pollen ain't no ho, though. It's like, yeah, I'm going to be vaccinated. I'll get my second shot tomorrow. It's like, yeah, I'll be vaccinated after a couple of weeks from that, but what about this pollen, though? I might have to start taking allergy shots because this shit kicked me in the ass this week. Man, I was like, damn. Anyway, Kentucky Derby, they had the first black jockey since 2013, Kendrick Carmouche. He ended up placing 13th. He was looking to be the first black jockey to win since 1901 and 02, but 13th is still good. More power to you. That white dude with the white hair, Bob something, I don't know, he always wins. That nigga been winning since I've been a baby, so I'm sure he got all kinds of strenuous types of training for the horses and the jockey. So I mean he stays winning. I think this recent win is the most ever in Derby history, so he's definitely made history with that. Anyway, I don't care about them white niggas, them rich white motherfuckers. This is weird. It's just such a fucking, it's just classes as fuck. Like, I don't think broke people can go to Churchill Downs. And I think the whole hat, I mean, Kentucky Derby, Derby hats, is just, it's been going on for a while. Like, it's probably, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I think horse racing, okay, it's going to get deep, because when isn't it not deep? I'm fucking Jack Cousteau in this bitch. You feel me? I'm like oceanographer deep, okay? So, I'll never forget the lesson I learned when I was in fourth grade. Shout out to Miss Newkirk. She was pro-black for sure. She was one of them old school black teachers. She was great. And we were, shout out to this history book too. Because a lot of the history books I had, they didn't sugarcoat. So, and this one was not, it was no joke. Like, the illustrations in these books, where they were pretty hardcore. Because one in particular, when we were talking about slavery, my teacher made a really great point in the distinction of it. And again, it was illustrated well. So the lesson could have been taught like how she taught me. Well, us, but you know, I was I was like Michael Evans, man. I was super pro-black by the time I was hearing this lesson anyway. So she was saying, hey, I want you all to look at the photo. Look how the slave quarters is way smaller than the stable. So they took better care of their horses than their slaves. And I don't know, ever since then, I just kind of equated that to the equine. Okay, so moving on. Rest in peace to Shock G. Mind you, I'm not saying that people who like to ride horses are siding with slavery. Not saying any of that at all. All right, Shock G, rest in peace, bro. That was really sad. It's been a lot of rappers dying. It's been really weird, and a lot of goofy niggas, fucking Koofy Crunchy Sock, Koofy Crunchy Sock Twitter. They been likening these rapper deaths to them taking a secret vaccination, like a experimental one. I don't know if that's the case, but Shock G's a little, that, like, for lack of a better word, shocking, because he looked like he was really in good shape, but he could have very well been one of those people who was suffering in silence. Maybe he had something going on we didn't know about, but for him to die at 57, and then just looking at the last video, I don't know. I just didn't, something about that didn't sit right. Like, I don't know, I don't know. But we gotta, all the rappers that we love that are alive right now, I've always given them my flowers off, you know, but damn, it's getting crazy. I mean, you got Jay-Z saying that he's disgusted with the lyrics he wrote for Big Pimp, and I'm like, come on now, can it be my stamina be enough for Pamela Anderson Lee? Come on. Anyway, so Shock G, rest in peace, bro. The Hump to Dance, man, come on. I love that shit as a kid. I definitely shouldn't have, but I loved it. And then, what else? Oh, yeah, of course, I Get Around. That was, man. I mean, I loved the Digital Underground. They were good. And then, so rest in peace, bro. Hopefully, I don't know. I still, there hasn't been any, like, official release of cause of death, at least not to my knowledge as I'm recording this. Another RIP, Anthony Brown Jr. He was another hashtag pretty much from a police officer shooting him dead. And the judge didn't even want to show the body cam because it wouldn't have been fair to the police officers. Like, what the fuck is this? And then, of course, they attacked the man's character, Anthony Brown's character. It's like, he had all these charges, blah, blah, blah. Who gives a shit? I don't care. People change. Like, people act like they don't change. Like, why are we using the past when we in present time? Like, what the fuck are we talking about? Like, what you did in the past, I mean, only thing is there's no remorse and you have repented in no sort of way, or not even repent, because, like, all these judgy words. Everybody be so goddamn judgmental. It's like, I didn't know y'all were creators of the universe. How we judging? Anyway, but yet I guess because he had a checkered past, he deserved to die from the cops. All right, cool. Whatever. Beyond over it and done with it. I just don't fuck with the cops. I mean, and yeah, they, oh boy. I'm just all over these niggas, bro. Like, they just, I don't know, man. Whatever. I don't even want to get into it because it's going to come off real fucked up. So, eh. I did notice that there was, like, a funny little tidbit about the FBI arresting one of the insurrectionist niggas because he was on Bumble. And his Bumble match, which, by the way, because kudos to this nigga's balls, because he, like, this nigga ugly as fuck, but he had the confidence to have a Bumble profile. And with Bumble, you got to wait for the woman to hit you up. So, but he did get hit up. But maybe she was like, this nigga look like he stormed the Capitol. And she was right. And she sent over, she flagged him, I guess, and, you know, and then he got turned over to the FBI, and then they probably hired him. Who the fuck are they kidding? Anyway, so there was, like, a big deal with female vice president and female house speaker, but fuck Nancy Pelosi. I don't give a fuck about that bitch. Fuck her. And then also the Biden administration, they're banning menthol cigarettes. They're trying to get I don't know. Because menthol cigarettes clearly targets black people. Like, yeah, we know. Like, look at Newport. Like, what are we talking about? Salem. Like, I grew up, like, I went to school with a Salem backpack. Like, Salem used to send cigarettes. They used to send, like, all these promos, and it targeted low-class black families because they know they're smoking it, and also they're like, oh, you get free stuff for your kids. You ain't got to pay for anything. It's real jacked up. Anyway, yeah, like, imagine being 5 years old and you're walking around with a cigarette ad on your shit where you put your books. Fuck out of here. But, yeah, they want to ban menthol cigarettes because it's like, yo, I mean, instead of not doing anything before and allowing tobacco companies to target you, now we're going to just ban it. It's like, I used to smoke cigarettes, and I started out smoking regulars, and then I got into menthol, and I did prefer the menthols, I'm not going to lie, but they're not wrong in that it's harder to quit smoking menthols. It sure the fuck is, man. I smoked cigarettes 13 years, and it's been, let's see, what is this, 2021? The last time I had a cigarette was, it was like September. It was either end of September or the first week of October of 20, no, it was September, September 2018, so 2.5 years ago was the last time I had my last cigarette, and that shit was hard as fuck. I mean, I've lost 90 pounds. That was easier than quitting cigarettes, because that was like my fifth, sixth time quitting anyways. Like, everybody goes through an initial quitting phase where you don't smoke for like a month, and then you be like, God damn, I'm back on this shit. Or then you do the social smoking, as in you don't buy any more packs, you just bum one. And then you got friends who always give you one, but then you're like, man, I feel like an asshole. And plus, I want my own. And next thing you know, you're back on buying. At least because I wasn't buying it a pack a day, I was like, no, I'm not a real smoker. But then I started adding, I was like, 3 packs a day is still a fucking lot, and it's menthol. And the last brand that I smoked was Camel Crush, which... Camel really was trying to cater to black people. So, but it's not just menthols though that they're banning. They're also banning flavored cigarettes, kind of like cloves, because I think cloves is kind of, I think there's been like a ban on those. And then Jarum, all those motherfuckers are bad for you, but cloves are definitely the worst out of the three. So so it's not just black people who they targeted as far as the band. It's going to be sad goth girls with big titties who's going to be sad, too, about not having clothes. Anyway, I know that was very specific. So, India, my goodness, that is a crisis is not the word. It's 400,000 people have been dying a day. Like, it's been like a person a day. Like, no, I'm sorry, a person a minute that's been dying. It's just bad, and I have friends I checked in with my friends who are Indian and who live here and are Indian and have friends in India and family in India. I've been checking in with them. My heart goes out to them, man. Luckily, they've been okay. Like, all their family's been good, but that's just the people that I know. It's still... I mean, there's mass cremation burials. Like, people are just, they're just getting cremated. Like, and it's not even, I mean, it's like pyres, like literal pyres, like the fucking Greek mythology days, man. Like, the fuck? That shit's, I mean, we're in America and we're like, yay, 100 million motherfuckers are vaccinated. Yay. And then once you're vaccinated, you can kind of have your life back. And then you look at India, and there's people just being dumped in big old graves so they can be burned and cremated. Shit is dark and grim. 400,000 people a day. That's a lot of motherfuckers. maybe it was just not a day. It was just it was like last week where there was the record. It was like just how it was going. But they have just big old graveyards and. But yeah, it's growing at the fastest pace. It's only, I mean, that's growing the worst. It's just, how the fuck did that happen? I mean, and then also in India, they were having the farm crisis too. Like, they're having a crisis in India, bro. Like, how that happened? Like, what the fuck's happening? Like, I'm real lost. Like, I mean, maybe that's British. Fucked them over, man. I mean, woo-wee. We got kind of our blessings, y'all. We, you know, I mean, yeah, we black in America and shit's shitty for us, but goddamn, it's always some shittier shit happening to people who are really, really good souls who don't deserve it. So my heart goes out to everybody in India who's suffering like that. I mean, I don't know who's not suffering there. I mean, even if you're doing well, you rich and famous or whatever in India, it's hard to even enjoy what's going on. I can't even, I mean, I'm watching it from here in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's just making me sad. I mean, oh, you know, I can donate, sure, but it's like, damn. So prayers out to India for sure. The Oscars. it happened last weekend, didn't it? Yeah. Yeah, not this past, but last weekend. And Daniel Kaluuya won for Best Supporting Actor, which is great for him, but it was really whack that they had Lakeith Stanfield in a supporting category, too, when he was clearly the lead, but whatever. Everything about the Oscars this year and every year is methodical and formulaic, so who gives a shit? Literally, the Hollywood Foreign Press. 87 writers, all white. So, yeah. Nomadland won, making history for Chloe Zhao, I think is her name. She's the director, and she's the first woman of color to win Best Director. So, shout out to her for sure. And then, this is definitely the most Asian representation in Oscar history, for sure. I haven't seen this many Asians in any. I mean, you got Steve Yeun, who was a Best Lead Actor nominee for Minari. I mean, there was some representation there, so I'm very happy to see that. One Night in Miami. Yeah, there was no wins for that, really. Soul won for Best Animation. And then, excuse me, I sound like somebody. And then a movie that Kevin Durant and Mike Conley Jr. Produced with Joey Badass and some white dude as a cop. I think it's called Two Strangers, that won Best Short. So, yeah, very interesting. It was that Mike Conley Jr., the Utah Jazz, and Kevin Durant, they were behind it. But NBA players are getting their hand in these films, man. Shout out to Kobe, to the late Kobe Bryant. We got his Oscar. That definitely helps pave a way. And speaking of paving ways, shout out to Tyler Perry because he won the Humanitarian Award. And, hey, say what you want about Tyler Perry. I mean, we all talk about we all be talking shit about his movies, and fair enough. But you can't say that he ain't done a lot for black people. I mean, he has made everything strictly black, so got to give it to him. I mean, his Tyler Perry Studios, people been fucking with it, so I ain't even mad at it. We can say whatever we want about the shit, but at the end of the day, buddy got buckets of billions, baby, so... It's going to get into shifting it to basketball, but it's going to get a little sad right quick because Terrence Clark, he was a 19-year-old recruit. Well, not recruit. He actually played with the Kentucky Wildcats, and then he declared for the draft after his freshman year. And because, you know, Colin Powell is a Colin Powell recruit, baby. One and done. You do what you do. But yeah, rest in peace to him, man. He died in a car accident. So he was only 19. It was really, really sad. I mean, it's just been a lot of tragedy, a lot of black bodies just getting murdered. So, and then, Gigi Bryant, she just had a birthday yesterday. Either yesterday or I forget. I think it was yesterday. And she would have been 15. And Vanessa Bryant launched a clothing line in her name, athletic line. It's a Mambacita. And it's really cool. Nice hoodie. Kyrie Irving got everybody on the Nets, got the whole team on the Nets Mambacita hoodie. And then, everybody's been really supportive. I just saw Allen Iverson sport it. You know, 100% of proceeds go to her organization. Let me see. It's really dope, man. It's Vanessa Bryant's been, she's been overcoming for sure. Because I know that, I mean, she's been mourning with us. So, yeah. Bless her heart. I mean, it's been really cool, though, that we've been, that players are really, they've really been supporting it. So, yeah, her birthday was May 1st. But, yeah, everybody's been supporting it, man. It's been really good seeing it. So, yeah, 100% of the proceeds go to the Mamba and Mambacita Sports Foundation. So, I think that's really cool. God bless. And then I've been noticing, so there's been a lot of NBA injuries, and they've been recovering. So LeBron James is back, and so is Melo Ball and some others. Clutch Points on Instagram had a really good point. They had a pretty lengthy video on Instagram, IGTV video. It's like 15 minutes. But it was very interesting and well researched, at least. But a lot of people have been grumbling, I guess, or maybe speculating in the sports writers world, like what's been going on with the injuries and why we saw a lot of young players with these serious injuries. And they linked it mainly to AAU, like how AAU sports has taken a toll on young bodies because all the wear and tear from playing like so many games within a weekend. Like you can play up to 4 games in a day. And then, it's like the pros. You have a shot clock and everything. I was in AAU for one season, in my 8th grade year. My 8th grade season, I was not into that shit. And on top of that, it's a hell of money. You got to spend all kinds of bread. It's like, wait a minute, I just played for free. I mean, as in, I didn't have to pay anything out of pocket for my school. And now I got to pay you to get you to ignore me and play your daughter instead, who you think is, get out of here. I hated those days, man. But yeah, I think they really are fucking up these bodies, though. I mean, you playing all those games and then all that wear and tear on you, and then it's all before you even develop fully. So yeah, I can imagine them going through all that, and then they go to college, and then, I mean, it's just as strenuous, but the allure of making money in the next level, you're going to go for that first. And so once, and that's a lot of the times what happens, like when they make that leap, it's like, yeah, but you ain't going to really be able to handle it. Like Joel Embiid, for example, he didn't start playing basketball till he was 15. So imagine you, as soon as you start, because he probably had a growth spurt. That's usually how that happens. So imagine just starting basketball, which is one of the most strenuous sports. You're using all your upper body and lower body strength. So, and all your limbs, all your stretch. I mean, you got to do, and then on top of that, you got to stretch and you got to do weights. You got to do all this shit. And then you got to do all this running too. You're working your cardio. So, hell, it's a lot of shit happening in basketball nonstop. So you 15, you start doing that. Okay, cool. Well, guess what they're going to do now with your tall ass? Put you in AAU, and you're going to be, and then on top of that, just because this is your first year, you 15, a lot of these kids in AAU, they already had, they have like a 8-year head start. A lot of these kids, a lot of these AAU people, they've been started young, like 4-5 and shit. So Joel Embiid go in there, and he's hella inexperienced. So they going to work him extra hard so he can catch up. So that probably is what happened with him. I mean, he, you know, went to college and all that shit. But when he got drafted, he had to sit out 2 seasons because he was hurt. And that's a real big leap. You're cramming so much basketball learning within a few years. And that's kind of, I mean, that's a lot of the case with these centers. It's a lot of the case with these centers. A lot of them, a lot of them started out playing soccer and shit. Like Hakeem Olajuwon, same, like a lot of them have that story. So yeah, you got a lot of players who just get hurt, like Kyrie Irving. I mean, you know, Zion Williams, a lot of them. If you're really, really good, you're going to do a lot of playing, and you're going to play in AAU, you're going to do a lot of McDonald's All-American, all that shit. You're not going to turn down any engagements, really. So, and then, yeah, again, wear and tear. By the time they 23, like, there's kids who need, like, in their 20s needing hip replacement surgery and shit. I mean, real fucked up shit. So yeah. It's something to think about, you know? Because it's like, why are these injuries happening all of a sudden? And then, like Ben Simmons, another example. He's Canadian, so he went to Montverde Academy, which is one of those powerhouse schools like Oak Hill and DeMatha, all them niggas. So, I mean, if you go into a powerhouse school too, yeah, you're going to definitely deal with hella training, and you're going to do a lot of running. It's going to be a lot on you. So, yeah, that shit ain't no hoe. The one issue I had when I was balling, I always sprained my ankle, and I'm just glad I never did anything worse than that, because, yeah, basketball can cause some devastating injuries, man, and it's happening to a lot of these youngins. So, and I mean, shit, like Brandon Ward, he had a degenerative knee condition, so it just, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, LeBron James even said that, you know, these AAU coaches don't give a shit. They just trying to, I mean, the more recruits they have, the more money they get in their pockets type shit. Like the more star recruits. And then on top of that, it's not real camaraderie. You're not really learning, because there's a lot of people coming in with click mind mentality. And they like, hey, let me get this player on my team right quick. And then they gone, you know, it's like not much loyalty involved either. So, I don't know. Something to think about. I suggest y'all checking it out for yourselves. Clutch Points. So yeah. I want to play this clip because it was the funniest thing ever. All right. So Denzel Valentine. He is a hot mess, and I just want to play this clip that this is probably the worst. It's probably the worst shot in the history of Chicago Bulls. But yeah, Steph Curry, man, he's got everybody believing that they can just shoot from anywhere, I guess, because this nigga shot from like the ozone layer, thinking that he was gonna make it. He nigga didn't even connect. So he listened to this call because he got roasted
badly there. Less than a minute to go. No. Oh my goodness, Valentine! No. Whoa, oh no.
No! No!
That is not the shot
no.
at that moment.
That's a horrible shot. No. Wow. I mean,
oh my God, no!
Man. I mean, he's by the hash. That's Steph Curry range right there. Come on.
Not in a two-possession game when you've worked this hard to get back in it. You can get a better shot.
Yeah. So as the announcer said, it was a two-possession game with 51 seconds left. He definitely could have had a better shot. Actually, he was better off passing the shit. I mean, this nigga is not good. He was good at Michigan State, but he was also on that team where they were knocked out in the first round by the 16 seed. So that nigga was a big old brick. Worst part about this whole thing, well, as I'm watching this nigga got the 45 jersey. Why haven't they retired the 45 jersey? Like, that's the comeback. That's the Michael Jackson. That's the Michael Jordan comeback jersey, man. Like, what the fuck? Like, why haven't they retired that? Why they letting this goofy nigga be a goofy nigga in this damn jersey? Maybe Jordan don't give a fuck about it, but yeah, they gotta retire 45, and they also gotta get rid of Denzel Valentine. That shit was balls. All right, time for the timeout now. Damn, April flew by like a gang of hoes in an 08 Nissan Altima screaming, "Ayy!" I hate the internet. I hate the internet. It's really rad. I hate it, but it's rad. That's the shit that I see from my comedian homies. They be posting some of the dumbest memes that I love dearly. And shit like that is funny as fuck. Or, they be posting these little nigga gospel, like, if she look good and she's still single, she the problem. I'm like, y'all ass. I hope y'all know that. It's just the internet ain't shit, man. But the, like a gang of hoes in an 08 Nissan Altima screaming, "Hey, that's..." It was just too real. Like, damn, that shit was real as fuck. Like, anyway, speaking of comedian homies, the timeout is really just me talking about me being back officially. That's why I didn't record last week, because I was all in them comedian streets. Like, Monday, I had a little breather, but from the rest of the week, like Tuesday, I did an open mic and I had a great set. I'll probably post some of it, but yeah, it was cool. It was an audience too, so shout out to Roll Call and the people who booked there. You know, they're getting people in. If you can get people to pack out an open mic night, that's something. So that felt good to have an audience there so I can test out new material. And it went well, man. I have this new joke. I came up with a couple of jokes. Shout out to my homegirl, Lisa Smith, who is also a great comedian. And she and I, we've been doing some workshopping, and she helped me with this joke. Like, I had the joke. I have all the joke. I just needed to, feedback to know, like, what to plug in and whatnot. And honestly, like, I'm already feeling like I'm a better comedian, even though I've had a whole last year, like a sabbatical, hiatus rather, to get better. So I definitely gotten better just with life and experience, and just getting the flow of, you know, just cracking jokes in general in a comfortable manner. But like workshopping with other people has been cool too. It's been really, really helpful. Even there's a joke that my homie Sean, he of Watch Gods, also of Civil Rights, which the album's dope. Y'all gotta check it out on all the shit. Go to Bandcamp and buy it too. So anyway, yeah, he gave me a joke as well. Also, comedians, link up with rappers. They're your best friends. Like, rappers and comedians, they work really well. We are good. We make good team, guys. But seriously, because they think on their feet, and so they know what's up. So yeah, getting help with premises and then just coming up with punchlines, that's been helpful. And I realized that, and the reason why I say I feel like I'm better, getting even better now than just all the experience I've accrued, like 7 years of doing it already. But I just feel like I'm much better now because I have time now to really collaborate with people and just do writer workshops. That's been really helpful because I just been, granted, I'm very blessed that I was able to get as comfortable and good as I am. I did a lot of other stuff too. Like, you know, when I started, when I did Ladies Night and I was doing a lot of sketch writing, that helped me, you know, be better performing wise as far as telling stand up. But hosting my show for 4 years, it's just certain things become more of a priority, and crowd work became my main thing. So I became really, really good at something that was my biggest weakness. Crowd work was my biggest weakness, as well as doing social commentary joke. And those two are now my main strengths. So now, strengths. I be sounding weird sometimes. I'm like, am I really talking? Anyway, so yeah, it's been really, really cool. All that to say, it's been really, really cool to also focus on, like, just, you know, getting back into writing good jokes. But also, the main thing I need to work on now is acting out, like, do act outs, because my jokes, I mean, it's like I'd have a lot of one-liners and a lot of quips and shit, and it's like I don't want it to be a fucking vaudevillian act where I'm like, see, wham, 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 wham. Like, I don't want to be like Roger Dangerfield and shit. Like, I'm trying to expand, you know. So I feel like that's the last, like, part of my stand-up that I really need to work on, or acting, doing act-outs. So, and also telling, because I have a lot of funny stories, and I need to do better at telling those jokes as a funny anecdote that also has a punchline. So, things to work on. So, yeah, all that to say, Tuesday was really good for me to just workshop some jokes, and I also had a moment where, because it's a white bitch who just went up, she interrupted my set. And I was like, yo, you just went up, man. And then I was like, you see how y'all do? Because it was a hell of white people in there. I was like, yeah, see how y'all do, man? Y'all can't wait to shut up a black woman. Damn. Like, and they started laughing because they know it's true. So, Milli Vanilli hear that. So, yeah, it was cool, though. I'm glad to be back for real. Like, went there, and then later on we went to 10 Atlanta, or 10 ATL, rather, at East Atlanta Village. Went up there to support this show that was going on, Funny Honeys. It was put on by Vanetta Schofield. I hope I pronounced your name right, girl. Your last name, rather. Pretty sure it's Schofield. She moved here from New York, but she's from North Carolina, and she has a festival going on, too. So I'll be talking more about that later on. Maybe not this week, but probably next week. But yeah, that's another thing that's happening too. That's I'll give you more details on that. But yeah, she moved here and she's been doing big things since. She's been here for like almost a year, and that show she put on was dope as fuck. So shout out to you, girl. And then we were on the same show together this past Friday. It was cool. I'm really fucking with it. Like, I'm teaming up with the people that I want to team up with. We got super groups going on and shit. I mean, it's fucking lit. Like, I'm telling you, man, I'm trying to get like we need a, well, I ain't gonna be saying, you know, G's moving silent, you feel me? Like news, the animal. So yeah, big things happening, man, big things. Very, very, very stoked about that. I'm just, like, there's so many things happening that I can't even, like, say a lot of it because I gotta wait until, you know, like, you know, when big things are happening, you gotta, like, wait until, you know, like, all right, this is happening. I know this is happening, but I can't actually announce it yet. So I really can't wait to announce the things that are coming soon. It's just been good, man. I did my first, hosted my first show this past weekend as well. Was it this weekend? Or it was last weekend. And it was really, really good. But yeah. Oh, yeah. So the one thing I don't miss about open mics that are happening again, it's like, seriously, we endured a pandemic. We survived a pandemic. And you think this is the time to workshop rape jokes, nigga? Yeah, there's this nigga who, and he gets booked a lot, which is unfortunate because I've heard great things about him. But as soon as he go on stage, he said, "I think rape is worse than murder. Here's why." I'm like, please tell me, man. Like, what the fuck? Get the fuck out of here with that shit. That's the thing that I ain't into. I've never been into it. There's never a need to hear that word. But that's what open mics are. You're going to always hear a motherfucker say a rape joke. It's so fucking whack. So that's the one thing I don't miss about open mics. But overall, very, very stoked with my return. It's been cool just dapping up motherfuckers I hadn't seen in over a year. And I mean, I got to pat myself on the back, y'all, mainly because I came back not really confident. Like, yeah, my first show that I came back with, like, it was April 10th. That was my first show back, you know, and I was very pleased with my set. But there's been times since I've been doing open mics and been booked on other shows, I've been kind of feeling like, was that good? But then people come up to me and say, yo, that shit was dope. And I've been feeling good about it again. So, yeah, I really have been needing my comedian peers' validation, because I kind of came back really, even though it was a rush from the first one, I was like, yeah, killed it. But, and I've had good sets since, but I still needed that extra push just to be like, yeah, we're glad you back, you know, you good as fuck, we glad you back, and you're going to keep getting these bookings, and that's what's been happening. So I'm very, very blessed in that sense. But yeah, for a while, man, I was kind of nervous. I was like, man, I don't know. I mean, it was mainly because I didn't have new jokes, and I just needed to perform new jokes. I realized that I got to overcome my annoyance with open mics. Like, look, it's not even about them niggas. It's about me needing to workshop new jokes and how I got to have new jokes to work on every week. Otherwise, I'm going to feel stale. And then since then, I've been reacquainting myself with jokes that I haven't performed in years, and I'm like, oh shit. And then I add like a new tag that works, and I was like, oh shit. Like, because there's times where I'm like, okay, this works, but I gotta figure out how this is gonna work. Like, there's some ideas I'm really, really attached to or married to. I'm like, look, I know I can make this work, even though they didn't find it funny this go around. Let me figure out why they didn't find it funny, and let me figure out a way to make it funny. So that's been great, man. I've been really, really pleased with that shit. So shout out to my comedian homies. I really have been appreciating you all, reassuring me and just encouraging me. And also, you know, they've been encouraging me because, I haven't been working. So I've been looking, yeah, of course, I'm looking for a job, and I've still been, but it's just been good again, these little paid gigs too. So thank y'all, and more to come. And towards the end of the show, I'm going to give you a list of shows that I got this week. So we're going to go on to the break now. Okay, babies. This week's brick goes out to the motherfuckers trying to cancel Freddie Gibbs, because that shit was whack. This was all over this video he shared on both Instagram stories and Twitter, where he posts it sounds like a black man is trying to talk to one of the workers, like a concierge. I don't know. He's like a clerk at this desk, and I don't know if it's very obvious that the white dude doesn't really interact with black people that much. It was just very clear. And I don't know, the dude was sounding really annoyed with the white guy, and the white guy sounded like he just couldn't handle any type of criticism coming from a black person. So he starts having these little tantrums, and then he started hitting his head. You know, like them little white kids back in the day in the cereal aisle, they just get mad because their mom didn't give them tricks because they want to be just like the white rabbit. And mom's like, no, you're going to get these cornflakes because it doesn't have sugar. And then they have like these little tantrums, and they start hitting themselves in the head. That's exactly what this was like. Like, that dude, but this dude was, like, in his 20s or 30s. I don't know. But Freddie Gibbs captioned on Twitter, "Make sure this dude doesn't have a gun, please." Some shit like that. And that's totally fair. I don't see why that was... I don't understand how that was insensitive. I mean, really got mother... I mean, and since then, it's been other... It's been so many shootings since. I mean, there's so many mass shootings now by these white niggas. Like, I don't understand why... That was such a terrible thing to tweet and say. Like, I thought that was a perfect caption. I hope he didn't have a gun, so what the fuck. Anyway, the dude, so the white dude proceeds to, because the customer is asking him something, and then the white dude is, like, hitting himself on the head. Then he gets even more frustrated and gets up and picks up the computer, like the desktop screen, and then he hits it, picks it up and hits his head on it. So he's doing a lot of hitting on the head, and then he gets up, storms off, and he yells at the guy who's still recording. He said, "Thank you for ruining my life." And the dude's really, the customer's completely confused. He's like, "Why is this dude really acting like this? Like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy?" So, whatever. We've been there where we have tantrums and shit. Like, people, and some people don't. Some people don't understand why people have tantrums. Some people understand completely that whole restaurant mentality where, you know, like, the whole idea of service going, and anybody who works in the front dealing with customers, when they go in the back and scream and then walk in, that's a real thing. I had a job where instead of screaming in the walk-in, we would just go and pack a bowl, and that was awesome. Yeah. Smoking a bowl in the walk-in always made things better. Walked out and put some smell good on and be like, "Hey, what you want with your stinking ass grits?" Anyway, so yeah, the brick is to that cancel culture. That's so stupid. So a lot of people came for Freddie Gibbs saying that white, black people too, or either black people or black, or those are Russian bots who pretend that they are black. There's a lot of blackfishing for sure. So yeah, a lot of them be like, "This is really insensitive. You really saying some fucked up shit. This is real fucked up. This guy needs help and all that." He said, "I know. That's why I said check on the bitch." And then people were like, "I'm done following you. I don't fuck with you no more." And he kept being like, "Cry me a river, bitch." And then he was showing screenshots of people. There's a lot of white people who were mad at him, who were calling him a nigger and shit, like hard R. Said, "You think it's funny making fun of people's demise? You think it's funny making fun?" It's like, y'all be sharing videos of our black asses dying constantly, then justifying it. So y'all can fuck off. That dude had issues, and I'm really glad that he, because no one needs to be, no one needs to be acting like that on the job. Like, he doesn't need to be paid acting like that, talking to customers like that. That's how it is, man. White people just be acting like they can just talk to us any kind of way, and it's so sickening. And they think that they're being, I don't even know, like, just the other day I went to Videodrome. Yeah, I'm calling y'all goofy-ass niggas out, you fucking lames. Get some black people, you fools. That video store, man, like, I fuck with it because, like, you know, like, just the idea of it, and it has a lot of indie titles, but I don't fuck with it because it's always some shit like that. It's always some goofy-ass, fake Jim Jarmusch head-ass niggas in there thinking they cool because they got a signed copy of fucking Fight Club or some shit. Like, eat a dick, nigga. I walk in there and a nigga go, "What's happening?" Bitch, you saying that shit because you see a big black woman with an afro, you think that shit cute, you think I'm Shirley, nigga? Hey, these nuts, bitch. Like, get the fuck out of here. I can't stand them niggas over there, bro. So shout out to that one dude over there who's cool. But them other niggas can fucking suck eggs. So yeah, how do I feel about that place? Let me just say, Movies Worth Seeing was still a better store. And y'all are only good because y'all got most of its inventory. I'ma just keep it gangster. Anyway, fuck them. That wasn't even the point of this brick, but they get a brick too. But yeah, all I'm saying is white niggas are the worst when it comes to customer service. I don't have any sympathy for that kid who, or that dude. He was not a kid. He was a grown man acting like a good goddamn kid. And I mean, why are you going to react that way anyway? Like, and then being like, thanks for ruining my life. Nah, you ruined your life, bruh. Didn't nobody tell you to react that way? It's so easy to be like, excuse me, one moment, please. So easy. But instead, you want to just act an ass, and you got motherfuckers feeling sorry for you? Fuck that shit. Please make sure that nigga don't got a gun. All right, swish. Also, thank you, Freddie Gibbs, for not apologizing, because that's some dumb shit. That would have been so, I mean, I, of course, I wouldn't expect him to, but it's like, y'all really trying to get him over this shit? And he moved the fuck on, so very, very glad to hear that, because shut up. Like, they always try to stifle people, you know? Like, no thanks. Let's go to the swish. All right, the swish is Mellow Ball, man. That little nigga right there, bro, he be balling. Well, he ain't a little nigga. He definitely taller than me. He like a foot taller than me, but I guess I see him as a little bro. He just, that Brody can ball, man. Like, it's all in the name, but for real, like, he came back from a right wrist injury, which is his shooting hand and his strong hand and his passing hand. And his first game back, I mean, he did one of the absolute best passes I've ever seen. And I say that because it reminded me of a Jason Kidd pass, which is my all-time favorite pass ever in the game. And it was an all-star game, and I've been trying to find that on video forever, but he fucking rebounded the shit. Like, from the other end now, he rebounded it, passed it behind his back, and then went all the way to, I don't even remember who he passed it to. That's how amazing that pass, that assist was. And so, Melo definitely got some Jason Kidd vibes in this damn. I mean, he like if Jason Kidd was Allen Iverson, I guess. I don't know. The boy can ball. The brother can ball. Like, he can't even drink alcohol legally. Like, he came back with a right wrist injury, and one of the first plays he did was that long-ass assist with his right hand. But he did it underhand, though. That's what made it even, I feel like, well, the Jason Kidd was behind the back, so that's why that shit was always, that's why that's my all-time favorite. But this one right here is like a top five, man. I mean, and I'm a Penny fan. He had hella dimes. So, like, so Jason Kidd, and then 2 through 5 is Penny. And then number 6 is Ball. Yeah, he did the same thing. He got the rebound, and then he just underhanded that shit. Just underchucked it, man. And I saw someone comment, because it was to Miles Bridges, and they're like, Airbnb? Yes. Bridges and Ball? Yes. Ball and Bridges? Yes. That's going to be really cool. They're going to be good. Man, I feel so good, man, because this league pass, I found myself watching Hornets games a lot, and I found myself preferring the Hornets broadcast, and both of them, I mean, they've been shining. I am fucking with the Hornets, man. I mean, I really am fucking with them, and I'm really, really glad that Melo Ball's back. It has nothing to do with my fantasy squad. I'm getting my ass kicked in this damn playoffs. We ain't going to talk about it. So, let's see. Let's look at these standings here. So, I'm pretty sure the Hornets are, they haven't clinched anything, but yeah, they're going to be in the play-in tournament, so, because they're 8th, but bruh. Well, he was out for 21 games, too, so they probably would have been, like, probably a 6th seed if he was still with, you know, he was there during those 21 games, but They really said that he was going to be out for the rest of the season, and now he's back, and he back like crazy, and he's been doing all these, these up and under layups. I mean, I don't know, man. He balling like. So Ja Morant, Anthony Edwards, Colin Sexton, he's been going. I mean, John Collins. I said Anthony Edwards already. Tyrese Halliburton from the Kings. So he kind of quieted it up a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, Miles Bridges, even though he's not a rookie, but he's young. And then the Hornets, they got it going on. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they're going to do in the postseason. So, welcome back, Melo. Swishity swish, 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 swish. All right, highlight reel. Y'all know what to do. Lower the volume so you won't get that kablooey up in your eardrum. Okie dokie. So, I saw something really, really rad on Netflix for once. So, Yasuke. Very, very, very big fan. So, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I always thought it was Yasuke. But in the show, they were pronouncing it. Yeah, like, it's spelled like it would be Yasuke. But they were saying Yasuke. So, either way, I fucked with it the long way. Like, I'm talking about, I watched the entire series. It was so crazy because how it happened was I checked it out and I was like, let me just watch the first episode right quick. And I was doing that while I was getting ready for a show. And I was like, you know, let me just watch this right quick. Then I'm going to work on my set. Then I was like, damn, this shit good as fuck. So I watched the second episode. I was like, fuck. Third episode. I was like, I bet this is only a 6-parter. And then I checked. I was like, okay, it has 6 episodes. Okay. Fourth episode, I was like, whew. Fifth episode, I was like, all right, man. I am going to watch this and then wash my ass and then like take my shit, because I had to get ready for my show. I was like, let me get my black ass on out of here before I get all caught up and just watching Netflix. So yeah, I was so impressed. I didn't even think that I would be that immersed into it. Like, I just did not think that I would be that into it. So I was into it. And so I was like, look, go there, do the show, come back and roll you a doobie and watch the finale. And I did, and it was fucking solid. Then I watched it again the next day. Like, I had watched it already. Like, I literally watched it twice within a day because I was so into it. I really enjoyed it. You got Flying Lotus doing the soundtrack, the score. You can't go wrong with that. It was so perfect. Couldn't pick a better person for it. And then Lakeith Stanfield, he voiced it. You know, he's interesting. Because I've liked him. He's very multifaceted. He eats pretty much every role. Like, he really does do a good job. I mean, even in Knives Out, you know, like, he was very, like, he just, you know, I didn't watch that bullshit that he had, that rom-com. I definitely didn't watch that shit. And I'm not talking about The Photograph. I could watch that, though. That probably is going to be a good movie. I still haven't watched it. But it was the one, I'm talking about the Netflix one he had with Gina Rodriguez, an old homie from the one who played, what's that movie? Or the show, the reboot, She's Gotta Have It. Yeah, it was like, no, that just didn't look good. But all the movies I've seen him in, I liked. I already forgot. But that movie was interesting. But he was, I don't know. That one's kind of like, eh. But I really did like him as Yasuke. Like, he's a good voice actor too. And He did it with much precision. So I don't know, man. Look, he does what he does, man. He does eat the roles. So, and this one was no different. It was a really good pairing. And then Thundercat, he sang the title song. I mean, not the title song, but the theme song. So, I mean, the graphics are cool. The storyline's good. I mean, it's a good plot. The only issue I had was them niggas were not Asian. They made them niggas look like like Modisuke, the doctor, looked straight up like Ben Affleck. That old girl who had all the powers, straight up. I was like, was this girl Matilda? Like, what the fuck is this? Is this Yasuke Matilda? Like, what are we watching? I loved it, though. Really, really great. But, yeah, I just, I felt like they probably could have made the characters look more Asian because it was in fucking Japan. Like, what are we doing? It was feudalism Japan, dude. It was like, you couldn't get more Asian than that. Like, what are we doing? But pretty sure Netflix had a lot to do with this. Like, yes, 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 yes. But can we make them whiter? It's like, yeah, well, this is set in Japan. He's like, look, we're already giving you a black samurai. Do we need Asians too? It's like, well, yeah, because it's in Japan. It's like, yes. But make them more vanilla. Because, yeah. I mean, none of them look Asian. It was really weird. And again, old girl looked like Matilda. All right. But other than that, very, very great. Highly recommend. Really, really think that, yeah, I feel like anyone who's into anime should definitely be watch it. But I feel like also anybody who root for anybody black, I mean, it's definitely, there's some moments too where it's hella black. It's like, good job, y'all. Y'all definitely made it black. So yeah, check it out. Okie doke. We're going to round this out with the overtime, okay, y'all? All right, so I just want to say that I enjoyed the Mortal Kombat movie. It wasn't the absolute best. It wasn't incredibly great. But I thought it was good enough for me because I saw the first one and then I saw the second one, Annihilation, in theaters. And both disappointed me immensely. This one didn't really disappoint me. I guess they just needed to wait until they could be in an era that has good CGI. So the live action finally caught up with the graphic video action. So I fucked with it. I don't care. A lot of people hated it. I will defend it and I'm ready for you. But Kung Lao, he's like, hey man, you gotta go. You ain't got the mark to Sonya Blade. And then the Liu Kang piece was like, yeah, you gotta fuck off because you're a liability. And she was like, damn. But she ended up, you know, kicking ass. But I liked it. And then there's a new movie with Jason Statham and Guy Ritchie, Wrath of Man. Might be good, might not be good. Not sure. But I do like when those two team up. So I'm intrigued. But definitely not going to see it in theaters. I'll just wait. But it's something that I've noticed that they've been showing that trailer a lot. And then Lil' Kim, she announced that she's going to come out with a memoir, The Queen Bee, and it's going to be released on November 2nd. So shout out to her. I'm intrigued to see what she got to say because, but yeah, I'm intrigued to see what she got to say. You know, I mean, I recall the, really good vibe interview they had with her where she was very open and, I'm definitely intrigued to see what she got to say. Probably won't buy it, but I don't know. Maybe. This library up the street from me. I'll be like, hey, man, let me get there right quick. Okay, get your library card in. So, anyway. Oh, man. So, my roommate, she has a fern that she bought like a month ago, maybe. And she hung it up on the porch. And we noticed, like, within a couple of weeks, there's every time we came out, a bird would fly away. And we're like, what's this bird doing in there, man? You think they're making a nest? One day, a couple of weeks ago, maybe a week ago. So I'm just intrigued to see if they did, in fact, build a nest in there. Not only was there a nest in there, it's so perfectly done, too, the nest. It's just, I'm like, what y'all be doing? It's so perfect. There was 3 little eggs in there. And I was like, oh, my God. I was so excited about it. And I told my mom about it. I was like, oh, man, so cool. And she's like, yes, just be careful because, you know, birds are very protective and they don't, you know, when you look, I took some photos of the little eggs or whatever in the fern. I was telling my mom that, and she said that, you know, that I need to be careful because the mama bird might think they were trying to hurt it. And I was like, no, we wasn't trying to hurt it. No, not at all. We would never try to hurt it. She's like, well, she doesn't know that. And I'm like, dang, you're right. Always listen to moms when they're talking about mom shit, okay? Anyway, so since then, I mean, we were already careful, but now I'm just, like, extra careful. So today, I was like, okay, I really want to check on these eggs. I just want to see if they're okay. Y'all, one of the motherfuckers hatched. One of the eggs hatched. It was a hatchling. And it literally had just hatched because the mom flew away because, you know, just out of nervousness because it's like, humans, get away. They ruin everything. Fair enough, birdie. So she flew away into a part in the tree where she can still watch us. And I'm glad she let us look at the goddamn bird because it's so fucking adorable, y'all. I know. It's just so, oh my God, it's the goddamn cutest. Oh my God. Like, it had, like, the little mouth open. It was like, meh. Really made my day, you guys. Like, birds are awesome. I'm obsessed with them. But they also some horny motherfuckers. They just fuck all the time. So, anyway. So, it was just, like, a bunch of birds we heard all day. Like, we went to Home Depot, and it was, like, birds just all over the place, just mating and shit. So, shout out to birds. Also, going to, going to the High Museum on Mother's Day. I didn't even know. I was just like, ooh, second Sunday, that's free. Let me get these tickets. And, yeah, so I'm going to be there on the second Sunday. And I'm excited because I don't think I've gone since I went. Man, I remember the first time I went to, because they've had free admission on second Sunday ever since I've lived here, so for 15 years at least, and I went, that was the last time I went, I think. I mean, I went to the orchestra, but that was, that's different, right? That's Woodruff. I don't know, whatever, but the High Museum was dope, and, but yeah, that was the last time I went. It was 15 fucking years ago, and I went incredibly high. I was so fucking high, but I really liked it, so I'm really, really stoked to go back to it again, and then I have some comedy happenings, let's see, including that day. So Friday, May 7th, I have a show called Slumber Parties, all female comedy show, and it's in roll call at 10:30, and it's, the theme is you know, pajamas and whatnot. So I might perform in my pajamas, but I probably won't. Then Saturday, it's a booked mic, so it'll be definitely free. It's at 529. I haven't been to 529 since I saw AZ in concert, so that'll be interesting. And then let's see. That's at 4. And then, but I don't know. I mean, also, I'm just letting y'all know where I'll be. I'm not saying y'all got to come to this. And also, when people be like, hey, I wanted to come out, I'm sorry, Dennis. Like, it's cool. I always understand. Trust me. I understand the struggle of the decision making when it comes to, do I want to just keep my ass home or do I want to go outside? I get it totally. And then Sunday I'm going to be hosting a show outside of Pont City Market at their amphitheater. It's going to be at 4 p.m. and that's on Mother's Day. And then I got some other shows coming up too, but those are the most recent ones. And I want to leave on this note. I came across this TikTok because people be reposting them on. I mean, people always reposting on other social media, so I don't feel like I need to get the others. So I guess if your social media platform starts with T, I ain't fucking with you. Twitter, TikTok. All right, so I'm going to start right now. This is a really good rap I came across.
Stop. Fucking intro. Citizens rise. This ain't for the ignorant mind. Look at his eyes. Full of pain and victimless eyes. But shedding a tear. Feeling your fears. Isn't that barge? Yet the suicide rate among men is still a surprise. If you cry because you sad, you ain't no bitch. You a bitch if you let it eat you up to the point it get leaping. When cause you let it build up, you done took it out on your people, especially ones that treat you with love. Look, it's okay to be vulnerable, cause you owe it to you. I know you don't know what to do, but you know that's the truth. I know you can't focus and that you coping by smoking your blues. I know you posting pics on your socials and hope they a fool. Trust me, them demons you fighting, we know they hoping you lose. You gotta open right through these things called feelings and go through your moves. To be a real man, you don't need no one to prove. Fuck who told it to you, cause boys do cry.
So it ends with a clip of a black karate instructor advising young black men to who's also in the martial arts class. He's like, just placing a gentle hand on their shoulders and saying, young man, it's okay to cry. Let it out, because it's better to let it out than to implode. But I really, really love that. I love the message behind that. Of course, it's dedicated to black men, but it's black people in general. Because black women too, we act like we, could be super heroes too, like superwoman, the whole superwoman syndrome. So we don't need no help. I get it. I'm like that too. I'm guilty of that rather. But yeah, I've been telling my friends lately, like, yo, feel how you feel. Don't feel guilty for it at all. Like, only unless you're trying to, if you're feeling like you want to kill somebody. But other than that, I mean, if you're feeling how you feel and there's no malice out of it, just feel it, man. Okay, we just let it out. It's okay. I'm definitely the friend that you can let shit out with. And I take pride in that. So, but especially to my men's, man, my, that sounded weird. I just really think it's important for black men to really, men in general, having guy friends and seeing how they are and seeing how they are with people who love them, like their wives or girlfriends, and or situations that I've personally been in where it's clear that they love me, but they're not ready because they feel like they got to heal 100%. And I just feel like, it's okay to, if you got people in your corner, the people in your corner are going to have shoulders for you to lean on when you need it. And don't, there's no shame in that at all. There's absolutely no shame in needing that. There's no shame in crying. There's no shame in feeling like you need help psychologically or mentally, like if you need to seek therapy. Every man deserves, right? I mean, I just feel like we all deserve to have a peace of mind. So let it out, baby. And that's the end of the show, yo. I'm going to catch y'all next week, all right? Y'all have a good weekend. Good rest of your week since it's only Monday, Tuesday-ish. I holla at y'all. Peace.